lift those hands. Thank you, Lord. Once again, we're so grateful. Now speak to us through your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. As we navigate day to day, minute by minute, second by second, through a dark and fallen world, let your word show us the way. Lead and guide and direct us. Holy Spirit, continue to rule and reign. Our hands are lifted as a sign of surrender to you. God, we need to hear from you like never before. We need your direction and your guidance like never before. Thank you. We bless you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hey, isn't it amazing? It is the first Sunday in February. Happy New Year. Woo! And here we are again. And please don't let 2013 become 2014. Amen? Just don't let it be business as usual. Don't let it be the same. We've had 1 month and we told ourselves that we're going to get it right. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And so 1 month is down. We enter a new month, February 2nd, 2014. Happy New Year. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 1. I'll read 11 verses 1 through 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, underline through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. So as we're this new year, we're talking about making disciples, building the kingdom of God. And we're talking about the spiritual warfare that we're in, how we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. Put on the whole armor of God. In Ephesians 6 and 16, it says, above all, the shield of faith, that you may quench the fiery darts of the enemy. So here we go. We need the shield of faith so that we can quench the fiery darts of the enemy. It won't stop. It won't prevent. The darts are coming. You can't stop that. They're coming. Doubt, discouragement, confusion, lies. They're coming. You can't stop them, but you can quench them through faith. In Hebrews 11 and 3, it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But science, or some scientists or some evolutionists, will tell you that we came from a microorganism or an amoeba, or that, I don't know about, maybe you came from a monkey. I didn't. I've seen some people that make me question that, but I know the word of God. Amen. But I know what the word says. Say that things which you're seeing came from things that do not appear. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. That's how it started. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So things which are seen came from things that do not appear. So youngsters in school, when they're teaching you evolution, just politely raise your hand and say, what about creation? Amen. I believe that God created everything. That's part of our faith. We have to believe that. So we understand that things which are seen came from things that did not appear. It's amazing. Before anything was created, it was first seen and then it came into existence. God created Adam and Eve in the beginning, not Adam and Steve and not Eve and Yvette. I believe God created a man and a woman. Amen. That's the way God created it. But by faith, that's why we have to reject the lie, because the lies are coming. And in school, they're teaching our kids that you can, in California, we know the law was passed. So you can go to any bathroom that you, if you think you're a guy, you think you're a girl, you go to any bathroom you think you are. Through faith, we have to reject the lie. We have to teach our kids to reject the lie. That you are who God created you to be. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, based on Psalms 139. Through faith, we have to reject the lie. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe, underline, must believe, that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without the belief, without the assurance, without the understanding that it's going to be all right, that God has my back, that God hasn't forsaken me, God will never leave me. Without that assurance, it's impossible to please God. You have to believe that. That's basic. That's Christianity 101. That's basic Christianity. But you need the shield of faith, because you're going to be tested. Your faith was tested this week. You had a situation, a circumstance where you're like, man, this is crazy. What am I going to do now? You and I were tested this week. Our faith was tested. He just lifted up the shield and said, the devil is a lie. I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken our seed begging bread. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. God will open doors for me and God will close doors. Just held up that shield of faith. This is not a sickness unto death. I will live and I will not die. Got to have the shield of faith. And as we... as we, many of us this afternoon will partake in Super Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, as we call it. Whether your team made it or didn't, I'm not getting into that. But we're going to celebrate the event. Amen. And we have those that have played football, baseball, basketball, and they make it to a place called the Hall of Fame because they were so good. Make it to the Hall of Fame. I know the Football Hall of Fame is in Canton, Ohio. I'm not going to give, that's where my wife and my mother-in-law is from. I'm not going to give Canton a hard time. That's one thing that's in Canton, Ohio. The Football Hall of Fame, amen. It's a nice place. You get a chance to go there, you check it out. But in 1132, it talks about the heroes of faith. It talks about the Hall of Faith. Oh my goodness. And see, that's where you and I want to be. I can do without the Hall of Fame, but I can't do without making it into the Hall of Faith. It's only reserved for those who can get through, the ones that can persevere, because the darts are coming. They come quick. They're unpredictable. You and I, we have a target on us. We are a dartboard, and the darts are coming. So look at verse 32, in my subheading, it says many other heroes of faith. And let me just backtrack just a little bit. From in Hebrews 11:8-19, it talks about Abraham and Sarah. In 20, it talks about Isaac. 21, Jacob. We talked about Joseph, I think it was last week or the week before. 23, Moses's parents. In 24, Moses. In 30, Joshua and Rahab. Isn't that something? Rahab. So it doesn't even look at verse. Let's start at 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So God delivered a harlot. And she made the Hall of Faith. So your past can't prevent you from making it into the Hall of Faith. I don't care what you've been through, what you've done. You can still make it into the Hall of Faith. Thank God. Somebody need to say amen. It's not about your past. It's about what you do with your present, which determines where you go in the future with God. Amen?
Amen.
But look at verse 32. It says, the subheading in my Bible says, many other heroes of faith. And it says, verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Wow, we wouldn't have enough time to go over all of them. But I do want to take time this morning to go over Gideon. If you would, turn with me to the book of Judges. Judges 6. Go to Judges 6 and verse 11. It's when Gideon was called. Let's take one of the, and maybe we'll do some more in the coming weeks, but let's just look at Gideon just for a minute for this morning. If you're there, say amen. You with me, Lambert? We're there. Oh, I love it. Thank you, brother. Judges 6 and 11. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophar, and pertained unto Joash the Asbirite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites, because they were under oppression from the Midianites. Gideon is threshing wheat. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Underline that. God is telling somebody this morning, I'm with you and you're mighty. I'm with you and you're mighty. Gideon responds, as opposed to responding, amen, God, I believe it. He responded with two questions and a comment. God told him he's a mighty man of valor. God's telling you you're a mighty woman, man, child of valor. And we have to be careful when even when a positive word is spoken, as in Gideon's situation, his mind turns it into a negative, because we've been so conditioned that we're nothing. We're not going to be anything. God couldn't be with me. It's never going to happen for me. Be careful. Even when a positive word is spoken in your life, you shift it that it becomes negative. That's a dart from the enemy. And you got to hold up the shield of faith. I believe I'm a mighty man of God, valor. You have to believe you're a mighty woman of valor. No, not me. Look, he responds with two questions and a comment. Look at verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, or O sir, if the Lord be with us, then why then is all this befallen us? If God is with me, man, why am I broke? If God is with me, why did I just lose my house, lose my job? If God is with me, why are my kids all tripping? Man, what are you talking about? He told him he was a mighty man of valor, but instead of saying, God, I believe it, his mind, it's bad enough when negative words are spoken into our life, and we have to deal with that. But don't let a positive turn into a negative. Hold up that shield of faith. You got to believe what God is telling you. That's his first question. Why am I broke then? Why my wife leave me? Why my kids on drugs? Why is my son on the corner banging? Why is my daughter selling her body? Why? And how is God with me? I don't believe nothing you say. Second question. And where be? He's speaking in Ebonics right here. And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Second question. So, where be the miracles? I can speak Ebonics too. Where be the miracles? But I do give the fathers credit. He said, which our fathers told us. Fathers, if we don't tell our kids about the Lord, they won't know. Thank God for the fathers telling their kids about the miracles of God. They could fall back on that. Our fathers told us about some miracles. Where are those at? Fathers, thank you for telling your kids about the miracles. two questions and then look at the comment. And then look at the comment. But now the Lord hath for, whoa. But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Whew. You were told that you are a mighty man, woman of valor. You come up with two way out questions and then a comment saying, why is all this happening? Where are the miracles? By the way, God has forsaken us. God could care less about us right now. The word forsaken in the Hebrew is N-A-T-A-S-H, Natash. To leave, this is what he's asking. Why have God left, forsaken, cast off, or away, rejected? Why is God suffering us? Why has God spread us out? Why has he loosed us? Why has he ceased from being with us? Why has he abandoned us? He's quit us. He's hanging us loose. He's cast us down. He's let us fall. He's forgotten us. When he said, why has God forsaken us, he meant all those things. That's, he's abandoned. He's quit us. Remember, you're in elementary school and you get a note, I quit you. You know you got that. I got one of those notes too. It's quits. You felt abandoned. And he's saying God has quit us. Verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this might. Go in your strength. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Here it is again. God is saying, go in your strength. I've sent you. You're going to save the people. He gets a little better. He only makes one question and a comment this time. Verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family. First, how am I going to save them? Behold, my family is poor. In Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He said, how can I do this? My family is poor. So God is telling us in 2014, stop using your family as an excuse to being held back. Yes, we get to choose a lot of things, but we don't get to choose our family. I understand it. I get that. But that's no excuse not to walk in the calling that God has called you, not to be all that God has birthed you to be. Do not let your family be your excuse. It's hard enough when people bring us down. Negative thoughts. And if somebody came and talked to you and said, you know, you ain't gonna be nothing because your family is poor and you're the least in your family, you say, man, who you think you're talking to? You can't talk to me that way. God is telling you, stop talking to yourself that way. Stop talking to yourself. Who do you think you are? Don't allow yourself to supersede the sovereignty of God. Stop talking to yourself that way. You are mighty. You can do it. If somebody said it to you, be ready to fight. Stop saying it to yourself. Stop telling yourself that. That's why the darts are coming. And you look at the darts right here. Gideon, what do you say in verse 13? If the Lord be with us, why then is all this has befallen us? What kind of dart is that? That's what? Is that doubt? Is that discouragement? Is that disbelief? The same ones we have to deal with now. And where are the miracles? This has never happened. That's another doubt, discouragement, disbelief, and then abandonment. I'm the least of my family. Abandonment, forsaken. All those we still have to deal with today. That's why we talked about Jesus was praying that our faith wouldn't fail. Said the enemy wants to sift you like wheat. I'm praying for you that your faith is going to come, but I'm praying that your faith don't fail. Because you're going to feel like you're nothing. The enemy is going to try and tell you that and remind you of your family, where you came from. never did anything right, never did anything good. How could God even think about using you? Verse 16, somebody underline this. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with you. And if we go on and we continue reading the story, we see how Gideon became a mighty man of valor. Remember, we started in Hebrews. Gideon made the hall of faith. Some kind of way it shifted. Something shifted and allowed him to be, you know what? All that God told me, I'm going to do that. Amen. Somewhere it shifted and he became that man of valor that God called him to be. So here we are, we're shifting. And so what we see right here with this conversation and how Gideon felt about himself, it wasn't so much about his present. It wasn't even about his past. It was about his future. And the darts that's coming your way, it's not so much about where you are now. It's trying to prevent you from where God is taking you. It's not about you. The stuff you see right now that you're dealing with, it's not about that. It's what the enemy see once you get through with the faith in Jesus Christ, that you get through the other side. That's where he doesn't want you to go. Don't let this stop what's on the other side. You are a mighty man of valor. You are a mighty woman of valor. Don't let your present determine how your future ends. It can't do it. It can't do it. Don't allow it to. That's why above all, you need that shield of faith. You have to believe what God tells you, what his word says, his thoughts for you, his plans for you, to give you a hope, a future, an expected end. It all works together for good. If God be for you, who can be against you? You can do it. We do win in the end. Verse 16 again, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Verse 17, and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that you're talking to me. See, in God, his sign for us right now, his sign for us is the word. He did show Gideon a couple of signs, but he's telling you right now, my sign for you is the word. You got to believe this. You have to. I left this word for you. This is your sign. All the words in it. That you will be all that God's called you to be. This is your sign right here. That's what we're going to get. We got to get into the word. That's our sign. And the rest we'll have to pick up next week. Let us bow our heads and pray quickly. I know we do have a young visitor here, so, and the rest is family. But family, let us just pray. We never know who's in the valley of decision. So, Lord, we pray right now, Lord, the first step of faith that you got to believe is that you need to be saved. Based on Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to believe that. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 10:13, I believe, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to believe that. If you call on the name of Jesus Christ, you accept him into your heart, you shall be saved. That's your first step of faith. So maybe you're hearing saying, Pastor, I've never took that step of faith to be saved. That's you. I want to pray for you right now. Elevate your hand. Or maybe you're hearing you saying, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I'm in the second month of the year, and I'm telling you, I got to get I need a jump start. I need a restart. I need to hit the reset button. I need to get it right this month. I don't want to go into March the same way I came out of January. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life, I'd love to pray for you. Go ahead and elevate your hand. Or if you're hearing you saying, Pastor, I need a church home. I haven't joined. I've been coming and I want to be a part of South Bay Abundant Life Church. I love the people. I love the word. I love the fellowship. It's a place I can learn and grow. If that's you, elevate your hand. Thank you, Lord, for family. We thank you, Lord, for South Bay Abundant Life Church. Thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord. And as you're growing us up, Lord, we got to believe, Lord. I resist, I rebuke those seeds of doubt, those fiery darts that are coming towards your children here in the South Bay Abundant Life family. Lord, I pray that they would hold up the shield of faith. They would walk strong. They would get into the word. That is our sign. The word is our sign that is going to be all right. That's our sign. And when we read it, then we know we have the assurance and the belief that everything is going to be okay because God has said it. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for you are with us, Lord. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. We believe that, Lord, as we walk through. Hallelujah. How you prepare that table in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our head with oil, our cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, we believe that. We walk in that, Lord. You're a shepherd we shall not want. So, Lord, as we conclude the service, I'm going to ask my brother Mike Moody and Elijah Moody to come up. I want a special prayer for them. Ask some of the men to come up and pray. Mike is getting ready to take a trip to China. Be gone for a while. His son Elijah is getting ready to embark on a journey, sign his letter of intent. And then not only that, with dad being gone, we're going to pray for you, E, that God covers you and keeps you strong. And so, Lord, we thank you right now for our members here, Mike and Elijah. Lord, thank you for joining them here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. Thank you, Lord, for the men that they are. The men that you're growing them up to be, Lord, just thank you for all that you're doing in their life. So we want to pray, Lord, and just cover them. And we're going to pray today and we're going to pray on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We'll be praying daily for our brothers. Pray for Mike as you've opened the door for him to go to China for, I believe it's 9 days. Pray that you will open those doors, Lord. You'll connect him with the right people, disconnect them and keep him away from anybody that does not mean him any good, Lord. We pray for traveling graces, journey mercies cover him, Lord, from danger seen and unseen, Lord, from the car ride to the flight, Lord, to walking, to riding, to whatever mode of transportation. We pray that you keep him safe, Lord. Cover him, protect him, Lord, be with him. Pray for Elijah right now, Lord, as his dad is taking the trip. Lord, we pray that you'd be with E, cover him, protect him, and keep him safe, keep him focused, Lord, from danger seen and unseen, Lord, and comfort his heart. Don't let him worry. Don't let him stress. Don't let him be afraid. Don't let him be anxious. Don't let him be uneasy. Keep him rooted, grounded in you, assured, Lord. Here's our faith in the action. Faith in action, Lord. We know that you go before us and prepare a way that we might follow. Go before and then go with. Yes. Keep them safe, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And pray for Mike, Lord. You keep him, comfort his heart as he embarks on this new journey. Comfort his heart. Don't let him worry. Don't let him stress. Don't let him be uneasy. But know that he's going and that you're going to show him great and mighty things. You're going to open doors for him. He's going for one door, Lord, but you got 5 doors waiting for him once he gets there because of his obedience and following your lead. So we thank you for those open doors, and we pray that you close doors that you don't want him to go through and give him the wisdom to know the difference. So we cover him now, Lord. We'll cover them in prayer for the trip and even beyond. We thank you for these two mighty men, Lord, that you've added to this church. We pray for he as he signs this letter of intent, Lord, to go to college for a scholarship. We thank you for that open door. We thank you for all that you're doing in his life. Thank you for the example that he is to the other youth, Lord, of a focused, diligent young man, an obedient young man under the covering of his dad. Not wayward, not rebellious, Lord, but surrendered to his dad and surrendered to you. We thank you for that. And we thank you for the doors. And we pray for great and mighty things in the classroom, on the field, and in ministry for both of these men. We know you have a calling on their life for ministry, and we thank you for it, and we bless you for it, Lord. Thank you for adding the men, and thank you for the men that surround them and cover them this morning. We love you, and we bless you, and we thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. We thank God that he's given us life and that more abundantly. Be blessed. Be safe. You are dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. All those going to the street ministry, please meet in the conference room.
Call us if you need us, all right?
I will.
Please.
Call us if you need a meal. You want to come by for dinner, man. You call us, all right?
I think I'm going to be staying with my mom anyway. So.
Okay, cool. Okay. All right.
Your grandma?
She's in Lakewood,
right? She's in the North South area. Okay. Call us if you need us.